to start by showing you one of my favorite ornaments that we put on our tree every year. And it's not because of how pretty it is, all right? It's not how it looks. It's not the outside. It's the inside. Because what this is a time capsule. Now, I think somebody at our wedding gave this present to Jenny and I 21 years ago. And then that first Christmas that we had as a married couple, we filled it out. And so on this piece of paper, and I look at it every year when we're putting our ornaments on our tree, but it's dated December 25th of 2000, the story of our first Christmas. That Christmas when the weather was, and it's a fill in the blank. Anybody remember what the weather was like in 2000? I can tell you it was frigid. It was very cold. We lived at Cross Lakes Apartments, and our address was 1807A Lakeshore Drive, Anderson, Indiana. At that time, the news was full of things like there was a politician who was behaving poorly. We won't single him out, though. Pollution in the White River, and we found a bleeding kitty on our doorstep on Christmas Eve. Oh, yeah. That had some stories, too, because one of us was wanting to call a vet, and the other of us was wanting to, you know, not worry about it. It's Christmas Eve. Oh, yeah, which one was which? If you can solve that mystery, you're not Sherlock. All right. We shared lots of Christmas traditions, including St. Nicholas Day, December 6th. That's one we picked up from Jenny's side of the family. Donuts while Christmas decorating. Hot chocolate in front of the fireplace, snuggling while watching It's a Wonderful Life. And we celebrated the season with special people like Mom, Dad, Megan, Amy, Andrew, Rachel, Chris, Nellie, Joey, Karen, Alicia, Amy Kay, Chris, Gert, Steve Wolf. So then we got each other presents like a St. Louis Cardinals jersey, a sewing machine, toothbrush, flashlight, socks, Jane Austen book, and a CD. So that was our first Christmas. And there's a little story behind that Cardinals jersey, too, that we remember. It was a great gift. It was extravagant. Our budget at that time, I think it was like $950, and our rent was $525, so we didn't have a whole lot of extra. But we did some Christmas presents, and Jenny got me a St. Louis Cardinals jersey, and those are not cheap. It was a gray one. That's their road one. So she asked me, would you prefer the white one or the gray one? And as a first newly married guy, I said the white one, and she bought me the gray one. I was being honest, I thought, and it was a big mistake. Gray was the correct answer because it's easier to wash. So, and now I'm very glad. That gray one is my favorite shirt that I have. So it's awesome. And it goes on to say, but those were fleeting things. We knew that for our first Christmas and everyone to follow, our love for each other would be the best gift of all. Now that's a little, sappy or whatever. But really, there's so much truth in that. Time is fleeting. When I look back to that Christmas 21 years ago, it just doesn't seem like it could be that long ago. And as I think about really the best gifts, and that message is savor the best gift, the love, those warm memories of, even though we didn't have money, they were just great times. We didn't worry about that stuff, and it was warm in front of the fireplace, and that's really all that we needed or wanted. Great times. And so today, as we get into the scriptures, we're going to read what is perhaps the most often read scripture maybe right now in the world, especially during this season. But it's Luke 2, 1 through 18. I think Linus may even read it in the peanut story. But this is kind of the section, again, that gets read so often. Christmas celebrations, church, maybe in personal devotions. But here it goes. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. he went there with Mary, who he was pledged to be, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Now that's, again, that's very familiar, isn't it? Can you imagine if Mary had something like this, like if there was a time capsule that Mary would have been given for her and Joseph on their first Christmas together? Now, obviously, that was the first Christmas. That's what we're talking about today. But imagine some of those words, what that would look like. We lived at, where did they live? Well, that first Christmas, they weren't at home, were they? They were in Bethlehem. They had lived in Nazareth before. What was in the news back then? In the news was the census, paying taxes, how bad a politician named Herod was, maybe something about Caesar Augustus. A little bit later in the news, there would be murders, atrocities committed against young ones. And those were pretty much, murders were pretty much a normal thing for Herod. Tensions with the locals, with the Roman authorities. We celebrated with, who would they have celebrated with? Kind of a strange assortment of people. In this version, we have the shepherds, we have Joseph, we have, we know later from Matthew, Magi were there. So they celebrated with those people. We got presents like gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Maybe Joseph made a, somehow did some alterations and made a manger, a feeding trough, a crib for Jesus. Imagine, again, if that was in a time capsule, how valuable that would be, or how just inspiring it would be to read Mary's list. And I want to go next to Luke 2:19. This is what I really want to focus on. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I just want to sit there for a second. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in his heart. So I did a Google search, and the Google search I did was the definition of ponder. And the first one that I came up with was from the Oxford Languages, and it says this, because I don't think we use ponder a ton in our culture, but ponder means think about something carefully, especially before making a decision or reaching a conclusion. I'm going to read that again. Think about something carefully, especially before making a decision or reaching a conclusion. And I didn't ponder a whole lot on it, but my immediate reaction was our culture is really bad at this. Don't you think? Like in our culture, hot takes, it's quick opinions, it's decisive hot takes, confident verdicts, and maybe not everything is considered before a decision is reached or a strong opinion is offered based on kind of you hear something and then are asked to react quickly and offer a verdict. Well, again, as I pondered, too, this definition, I thought, look at the statistics Google puts up for me. It took 0.45 seconds, so less than half a second, and Google offered me 136 million results to ponder definition. That's insane. Could you imagine taking the time to read all those? Like, there is just so much information out there. So much information. Again, and I wonder if this is one of the problems or frustrations that we have that get in the way of some of our Christmas celebrations or even our peace, is just how much quickness there is, how it's really hard to ponder and reflect, how quick we're pressured before we make a decision or reach a conclusion. But snap decisions, again, jumping conclusions, seems to be something that we're almost encouraged to do. Now, some studies, and I saw one that Microsoft had put on a few years ago, and you may have heard it because it's kind of been popular in the last couple of years, but some studies have suggested that the attention span of a human being is now shorter than a goldfish. Anybody heard that one? Now, again, this is... So you see, in 2000, this slide we have up right now, back in 2000, so during our first Christmas, 21 years ago, the average human attention span was 12 seconds. Now, I think Facebook was kind of early. Well, we didn't have Twitter yet. TikTok, nope. 12 seconds back there, 21 years ago. In 2013, it was 8 seconds by some studies. 8 seconds. And a goldfish has a 9-second attention span. Pretty, again, I don't know about the science of this or any sort of conclusion. I'm not saying this is definitive proof or whatever. But I think it does tap into something that we feel right now. A lot of us feel, as we're concerned, it's really hard to pay attention. Probably a lot of our family gatherings, or we've noticed, or even being out to dinner, we'll see a lot of people staring at phones, or when we're out, instead of interacting, like the phone and screens have really captured people's attention. So it's hard to really make that contact, that eye-to-eye, that face-to-face, that human contact in less than 8 seconds. And some studies now are saying 6. So we may have lost a few seconds in the last few years. But pondering, let's think about Mary. Pondering is something that's really, really hard right now for a lot of us in our culture. I mean, a lot of us were even born with a short attention span, and then now we have things. I mean, we had entertainment, we had movies. Now a lot of the younger people, and I'm an old man, but not an old man railing against younger people. You know, a lot of kids don't even know what commercials are. You know, all these movies, like, what are the commercials, dude? Like, you got to skip through them. We don't watch commercials. So then there's YouTube, and we can watch these 5-minute videos, and TikTok, where it's 30 seconds a minute. I'm too old to be on TikTok, so I don't know. But anyway, like this, just all this, the quick text, all these kind of quick things, and it can be really, really hard to sit or even feel like there's time to ponder, because there's just more information, more stimuli coming at us very, very quickly. But again, to ponder means to think about something carefully. To think about something carefully. Luke said, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered. This is a really quick, decisive action. This is careful. This is being able to breathe. This is spending some time. As an adult, Jesus would go on to say, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is it that you treasure? Where is your heart? The first Advent message we had was about the Christmas dragon from the book of Revelation. What is it the dragons treasure? Gold, right? Things that shine, diamonds, jewels. Dragons are known, and the dragons of mythological fame are known to treasure and set on hoards of of gold and valuable metals and gems. So people are not dragons, but as human beings, we have choices. We have the potential to treasure different things. As people, we can treasure pleasure. You like how that rhymed? That's all I got. People can treasure, what are some things that we treasure? Entertainment, treasure wealth, treasure success, treasure family, treasure friends, treasure time, the environment, learning, coffee, political views, a cause or causes, travel, hobbies. I think there's a seemingly endless list of things that we could treasure. In fact, when I did a Google search of it, it came up with 581 million in 0.5 seconds. So go ahead and read that list of things that you can treasure. But we have, again, we have this opportunity, we have this ability to treasure and kind of to choose. Sometimes it feels like everything is so out of control and things are coming at it so quickly that we just want to slow it down and make it stop, or we're going to pop, we're going to lose it. But I want to offer an opinion now. This is my opinion. It's just my opinion. But my opinion is that your choice today to be in a church service, to be surrounded with other people who can know you, that your choice with that to be in church says something positive about you. It says that you do want to spend some time pondering about what is meaningful, what is lasting, what is eternal. Pondering love and pondering growth. I think even your very presence here today shows that, again, something very positive, that you're willing to sit down for a little while and ponder and think about the things that really matter. Now, there are two main Christmas gospels that we have. Matthew tells the story kind of seemingly from Joseph's perspective, because Joseph is more the main character in Matthew, and he has some dreams, and Magi are in there, and Magi offer, and Herod's in Joseph's and Matthew's account. And then Luke's, which is probably read more often, and Luke's is seemingly from Mary's account, and Luke tells us the story of the shepherds and the angels and John the Baptist and Zechariah and Elizabeth and all that. But even though we get the Christmas story only from two gospels, there's another gospel. And that gospel writer, I want to really think about him, because the gospels tell us that this gospel writer named John actually spent time with Mary after Jesus died. That Jesus, when he was on the cross, he looked at John and looked at his mom Mary and said, "You guys are together now. See your son and see your mother." So John took Mary in. They spent lots of time together. So I've got to think that John had a great opportunity to hear the story straight from Mary's mouth. And for whatever reason, John decided not to put the actual story of the events in his gospel. He would have known it. He would have had all kinds of opportunities to hear it from Mary. But then later, when John wrote, he was older. Mary was probably gone by this time when he wrote. I like to think that John had heard the story from Mary and heard her ponderings. And John had spent some time himself pondering on the meaning of Christmas. Perhaps he knew that Matthew and Luke were going to cover the Christmas story in those details. And instead of just writing the story or what he wanted to focus on, he leaves us with some ponderings about the meaning of Christmas, what it's really all about. It says this in John 1:14. Backing up, when he starts, he says, "The Word in the beginning was the Word." John's equating Jesus' birth with creation, citing the words of Genesis, "In the beginning, God created. In the beginning was the Word." And he makes this really powerful statement in 1:14. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And then we'll skip down a little bit. And Luke 2 may be the most read chapter. I don't know, most popularly read chapter. But probably this verse is the most popular verse, I'm going to guess. And this is a summary of what Christmas is all about, as John pondered on the meaning and what it was about. The virgin giving birth to her firstborn. The good news of great joy, the shepherds and the angels and the magi and Herod and all that. Jesus coming in the flesh. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now again, the gift of Christmas, as Jesus is called, Emmanuel, which means God with us. The present was the presence. God with us. It's a gift of love. The gift of love is presence with us. God came to be with us. God so loved the world that he gave. He became flesh, made his dwelling among us. God is with us. So again, I want to just encourage all of us to spend some time this Christmas season. It's going to be busy at times. It's going to be frustrating. There's probably going to be some things that don't get done. There's probably going to be some relatives that make you want to go crazy because you disagree with them so much. There's going to be maybe more than you can do, or somebody who lets you down or disappoints you, or just something. Maybe a lack of sleep, I don't know. But with all that, to really ponder on the meaning of Christmas and to think about the gift of presence. Because I don't know about for you, but one of the things that can happen to me is I can get so wrapped up in maybe tasks or problems that I'm not quite there. There's something else that's going on. And maybe we can ponder how to give the present of presence with those we're with, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, to be present. Because you know, just like I do, you can be present in the same place with one person, and they're not there. They're somewhere else. It could be on a screen. It could be, you know, just you could just see in their eyes. They're not there with you. Well, let's ponder on how to give the gift of presence this year. That gift, again, to savor that best gift of love. Mary chose what she was going to ponder. Mary could have been really stressed out that first Christmas. She could have focused on Herod. She could have focused on the strange, smelly shepherds invading her home. These magi that she didn't get her house cleaned for when they came. Like, there's a lot of things that she could have been stressed about and caught up in, the anxiety of the taxes and all kinds of things. But Mary chose to ponder. She chose to ponder. And we can too. We can ponder. We can ponder high prices, inflation, long lines, again, disagreements, bitterness. And that's not to say just ponder the positive. Because there's this messy stuff that we need to deal with sometimes. But it is saying that not all pondering is beneficial. And that we have that agency. We have the choice to think about what it is that we ponder. And how that, and to maybe examine a little bit how what we're pondering impacts us. What is it that we're thinking about it and how it impacts us? Because my hope and prayer, and I think all of us, our hope and prayer for each other, because this is a church where we care about each other, we love one another, and we treasure each other and just really want the best for one another. I think our hope and prayer for each other is that our ponderings are beneficial, that our ponderings are a treasure that lead to the best gift of all, that this Christmas, that love is present. Love is present. Now, as I was pondering and thinking about my most cherished memories, it took me back to one of my strangely just most emotional moments in life. And it was about 10 years ago. And it was the last time that I went into the house of my grandma and grandpa Miller. My grandma had been gone for a few years. My grandpa had just passed away. And then my parents and then their siblings were tasked with the responsibility of cleaning up the house. And I think my grandma and grandpa were in that house for about, my dad's their firstborn. I think he may have even come to that house, or they moved in right after he was born. So they were there for 50-some years. And that's the only place that I knew. And it was a small house. They raised four kids. But my memories of going into that house were just so positive. And I remember just that moment of knowing this is going to be my last time. And I was charged with picking out a few things just to take as heirlooms and to remember that house. But I just remember just having to get out of the house because I was just so overcome with emotion and just sobbing. And I remember, I don't think I was sad. I think the main emotion going through was just how treasured those moments, because that was a place. I remember those Christmas times, and my grandparents loved Christmas so much. And those were highlights as a kid going, and we would pile into their living room. And I just remember it was crowded, and it was the perfect kind of crowd. Like, it was just so full of love and laughter and joy. Going into the dining room where we shared the meals, and the living room where we shared gifts and we told stories. And just how grateful I was to have grandparents like that, knowing it was over, knowing I would never be in that house again, but just feeling that gratitude and emotion of all that we had, and maybe, again, sorrow for what had been lost. But that was the place where I always felt accepted, that house. And so that house, again, it was so cherished to me. And my grandma had a favorite song. And her favorite song was a Christmas song. It was an Amy Grant one called Heirlooms. And I just thought that song really captured the heart of what it looked like for Mary to treasure up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And she passed that on to John, who's even passed that on to us. That it's really all about love in our relationships with each other, the things that really are meaningful, the best gifts, the gifts of love. And our worship team has been good enough to indulge me, and play my grandma's favorite song today. But this song is not just for my grandma. It's for Brandon's grandma. She's still here, but their family's going through a tough time too, and house, and I know that that's part of it too. It's for maybe your grandma or grandpa. Maybe it's for your mom or your dad. Maybe it's for your husband or your wife or your kids. But just as we look back on the heirlooms and what really matters in life, just want to listen to this song as we ponder on the meaning of Christmas. So will you pray with me? Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Help us this Christmas season and in this culture that we live in that can be so fast, this world that can feel so chaotic to us, so overwhelming. Help us to see the opportunities that we have to ponder. Help us to ponder and treasure things in our heart that are really going to be a gift to us this Christmas season, and things that we'll maybe look back on next year down the road or 10 years down the road, 20, but look back on this year and really treasure. So help us to ponder the things that matter. And we ask for your help to do that. We thank you for the gifts that you've given us, those loved ones who love us. And we want to be grateful for that. So, Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to help us with this. And yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.